a lot of people talk about Ja Morant versus Luka Doncic as being the future kind of the guard position in the Western Conference. But after what I saw on yesterday, don't forget the name De'Aaron Fox. And Ja Morant and De'Aaron Fox could possibly even be a bigger thing. We're going to talk about that and much more from the Memphis Grizzlies Sacramento Kings matchup on last night coming up right here, right now on Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host today, DeMichael Cole, beat writer at the Commercial Appeal here in Memphis, Tennessee. Once again, thanking you and appreciate you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies with me on today. I'll be by myself, Coke, without my co-host, Joe Mullinax. But we have a lot to talk about from a truly another entertaining game. I think that's just the thing with Grizzlies games. They're entertaining. Another entertaining game. Unfortunately, the Grizzlies did not come out in the win column. 113-109 loss against the Sacramento Kings. So make that 7 consecutive wins for the Sacramento Kings. And the Grizzlies are trending in a different direction. That's 4 out of their last 5 games that the Grizzlies have now lost. And you wonder, when did that start? It started right after that Timberwolves game. What happened in that Timberwolves game? Desmond Bane suffered the sprained right big toe. So since Desmond Bane has went down, the Grizzlies have lost 4 of 5 games. And, you know, Ja Morant has missed a couple games in that stretch as well. But, yeah, 113-109 loss. And it wasn't much as about the loss because, for me, at this point of the season, yes, wins and losses do matter. They are huge, and at the end of the season, we will see how huge they are. But a lot of the top teams who I think will be the top teams in the Western Conference are struggling right now. Let's, for example, the Kings, 7 consecutive wins. They are the 3 seed right now. The Utah Jazz are 12-7. They are the 2 seed right now. The Suns are the 1 seed. I think the Suns will be around. But the Jazz and Kings, I like what I see from the Kings. Let's be clear, you know, on that. But I won't say now, just off of what we've seen so far this season, that those teams are heads and shoulders above, you know, teams like the Clippers, the Mavericks, the Warriors, and the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies, now losing 4 of 5, have fell back to the 9th seed in the Western Conference. And it's super tight. It's a 1-game difference from 9-3. The Grizzlies are 10-8. The Sacramento Kings are 10-6. So that's 1 game. That's 2 in the loss column, but 1 game overall behind the Sacramento Kings. And that's the difference between the 3rd and the 9th spot. So that's all just to say, yeah, wins and losses matter. Every single game matters, but the Grizzlies are right there. So once Desmond Bane gets back, once, you know, other guys get back, we're going to talk more about that later on in the episode as well. Have a couple player updates to keep you guys informed on too. But right now, I just want to talk about one particular matchup that stood out to me. And it's the matchup that you probably went into the game after you found out that Ja Morant was going to be able to play. It was probably the matchup that you were saying, I can't wait to see this. Because that's how I was. And, man, it was fun. Ja Morant versus De'Aaron Fox. Now, there's this misconception. I want to clear something up real quick. It's this misconception that both these guys just play blazing fast. And, you know, it's like a track. You know, it's a track meet when they go against each other. And no, that is not the case. Yes, they're super fast. Yes, they're 2 of the most explosive point guards in the game. But we see that with Ja Morant. Yeah, Ja Morant plays super fast, and he grabs a board, and he is on the move. De'Aaron Fox, just watching him this season up close, monitoring him, just his progression as a player, he plays more, I think, just with a more of a controlled pace, I think that is. He's still capable of playing at that blistering speed, but you can see he only pulls it out when he needs to. And I saw an interview with him a couple days ago where he kind of talked about it. Just say, hey, look, I don't have to go full speed. He's learning to play more with pace and things like that. And, you know, it's different for each player. You know, John Morant, him playing full speed all the time is a huge benefit to the way that the Grizzlies like to get in transition and set up things that way. So it's a completely different, you know, this is not to say, hey, playing, you know, a slower, more, controlled style of play is better than getting out in transition and constantly running. This is not an argument for either of those. This is more just an observation on how these two players approach the game. And, yeah, that's what I saw from De'Aaron Fox. And just it's like, okay, yes, these guys are two of the fastest point guards and all of that, but that's not what you see when you see on the court. You see two guys who can control the basketball games when they're bouncing the rock. When De'Aaron Fox has the ball in his hands, the game is he literally has control over what happens next. Same thing with Ja Morant. You don't take the control from them. They take the control from you. Ja Morant finished the game 34 points. And then right behind him, De'Aaron Fox led the Kings 32 points. But De'Aaron Fox also went 5 of 8 on three-pointers, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. And that probably was the downfall of Ja Morant tonight. 34 points, 12 of 21 shooting from the field. But 9 of 15 from the free throw line. The Grizzlies lost this game by 4 points. He goes 13 of 15. I mean, we're talking a different game. Even if he goes 12 of 15 from the free throw line, because as you saw in the closing seconds, 1.7 seconds left in the game. The Grizzlies were down 3 points. Ja Morant gets fouled and shooting free throws. Shoots 3 free throws, but he misses the first one. So he makes the second, and then he intentionally missed the third, but he ended up getting a lane violation to negate any chance of an offensive rebound in that sequence. But we talk a lot about Luka Doncic versus Ja Morant, right? And granted, remember the entire All-Star voting chase last season where Ja Morant edged him out, you know, for that vote in terms of being a starter in the All-Star game. And just their fan bases, you know, they're a year apart. You know, Luka, the bigger guard, the success that Dallas has had against the Grizzlies. It's something that we've monitored for a while, and we talk a lot about those two guys because, I mean, they deserve it. I mean, Luka is one of the top stars in the game. Ja Morant is one of the top stars in the game. They both deserve it. But De'Aaron Fox is the truth. I mean, just the guy can get it done. For one, he's one of the top paint scorers in NBA. So, you know, he's getting it done at the rim. Then we saw him get into the mid-range bag a little bit, which I've seen, you know, in other games, in other non-Grizzlies games as well this season. But, yeah, getting to the mid-range shot, he had one mid-range shot where he made over Santi Aldama's outstretched arm. Santi Aldama's 6'11", and it was just like, man. And then, of course, you know, the three-pointers, 5-8 from the three-point line. He had a big third quarter that really kind of broke the game open for a second for the Kings. Three made three-pointers in the third quarter. I think he shot 3 of 3 on three-pointers in that third quarter. 13 points overall for De'Aaron Fox, and he was hard to stop. Those were big points in that third quarter because neither team had it going. I'll talk more about that later. But De'Aaron Fox kind of took, you know, control of that game, and the Grizzlies didn't have too much of an answer for him until the fourth quarter. Ja Morant comes up to the scorer's table. He's checking in with 9:20 left, and the Grizzlies went down by as many as 14 points in that third quarter. Before you knew it, it was a five-point game, a couple minutes left. Ended up being a three-point game in the final seconds, and the Grizzlies lost that game by 4. But I was talking to Mike Brown before the game, and you know, he sees certain similarities in between his players, but I see similarities with the team makeup as well. I know I've touched on that a little bit in the past. Team makeup in terms of you have one guard who's aggressive, getting the ball into the paint, one of the top paint scorers, that's De'Aaron Fox, and that's exactly what Ja Morant does. Then you have, you know, the other guard position where he's a great three-point shooter, one of the better three-point shooters in the NBA. For the Grizzlies, that's been Desmond Bane, I'm sorry. And then for the Sacramento Kings, that's been Kevin Huerter. That's why I said Devin, because I just mixed Desmond with Kevin and I had Devin Bane. But Kevin Huerter, by the way, he has been great. And came into that game against the Grizzlies shooting over 49% on three-pointers. So what did he do against the Grizzlies, you may ask? Oh, 4 of 7 on three-pointers. So all in all, Kevin Huerter, Desmond Bane, three-point shooters who, you know, kind of play complementary style basketball off of their guards and off of their point guards and their attacking styles. Then you have the playmaking forwards, right? Jaren Jackson Jr. for the Grizzlies puts the ball on the floor, attacks mismatches. Then you have Domantas Sabonis, who can do those same things, but more, you know, of a playmaker, a passer. So I asked Mike Brown, you know, about the similarities. Mike Brown, head coach of the Kings, and he said that, you know, he sees, you know, what I saw in terms of, you know, with John Morant and De'Aaron Fox. But he also touched on the fact that the Grizzlies' experience is, you know, they've been through some things that this Kings – that Kings team, outside of a couple players, you know, and Harrison Barnes and Matthew Dellavedova, they have not been through, you know, those type of situations. And that pretty much got confirmed in the game. That got confirmed in the game because the Kings had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, and the Grizzlies and that veteran, you know, just that experience kicked in where they really, you know, made that game much closer than a lot of people watching probably thought it would be at the time. You know, that's how we probably didn't think that game would be close at the time. But you know what I did think? I thought Jaren Jackson Jr. was really good. I thought that the Grizzlies' defense showed some promising signs. And we're going to talk more about both of those things coming up after the break. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Turo. See, the thing about Turo is it's the best, the most quality options when you talk about getting a car whenever you want, whenever you need it, and booking a car in advance. See, Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace out there. So it's simple. Look, with Turo, you can book any car whenever you want it, and you get it from a community of local hosts. So any questions you have about the car, those people will be there to answer. And when I say any car, I mean any car. You want an SUV? You want a minivan for the family road trip? Or what about a pickup truck just to run a couple errands? Or you just want to test drive, you know, a car? You can do all of that through Turo. And every trip, this is important, every trip is backed by liability insurance. So remember, the terms, conditions, and exclusives apply. And remember, forget these boring rental cars. All you have to do right now is go over to Turo.com. That's Turo.com, and go see what Turo has to offer in the car marketplace for you. It wasn't just a showdown between, you know, De'Aaron Fox and John Morant. Granted, they were the star players and they played like the star players, but there were many more takeaways for myself on the Grizzlies side from this game, and none bigger than Jaren Jackson Jr. There's been a lot of talk, right? We saw he played a couple games, then the Grizzlies rested him, which, you know, if you've been listening to Locked On Grizzlies, you heard us talk about a little bit about how, you know, they're going to be real careful with a guy who's coming off of a foot injury that usually is caused by overusage. So the Grizzlies are going to make sure they don't overuse him. But Jaren Jackson Jr., season high in minutes, 27 minutes, 28 seconds. And before the game, Taylor Jenkins did say to me that, you know, they're going to try to get him closer to the high 20s. 27, 28 kind of pretty much backs that up. So that's important because if you watch the first two games that Jaren Jackson Jr. played in, 25 minutes, hovered around there, up to 27, 28 in this game, which is a positive sign. And you know what else is a positive sign? Jaren Jackson Jr. shoot 1 of 5 on three-pointers and still having an efficient night. That's got to be music to the ears of Grizzlies fans, because I've heard, you know, each player on the Grizzlies team has their critics. And for Jaren Jackson Jr., when we during all the episodes about, oh, when could he return and how does he impact the team and all of that good stuff. And you had a couple people saying, hey, he's inefficient. You know, he's not able to do this. He's able not able to do that. And to a certain degree, you kind of see those things, right? Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, last season we talked about the low three-point shooting percentage and still attempting over 5 3-points a game, shooting under 32% from three-point range and shooting over 5 attempts per game. It's just, you know, that's ultra confidence in yourself. But what we saw against the Kings, what we saw a couple games ago against Oklahoma City Thunder, think about Jaren Jackson Jr. so far. I think we can all say we like is the aggressiveness. I'm talking about the dunking of basketball, taking advantage of mismatches, and that's why he shoots 8 of 14 from the field and has an efficient night. Again, he missed 4 3-pointers and still, you know, had an efficient night from the field, 8 of 14, and it wasn't just that. It wasn't just that he was 8 of 14. He was 5 of 7 from the free throw line and 5 blocked shots. 5 blocked shots, 2 steals. So we talk about the activity with this Grizzlies defense, right? Jaren Jackson Jr. changes things. So 10 blocks as a team total for the Grizzlies, 12 steals. What is that? 12 steals in this game. But Jaren Jackson Jr.'s progression is noteworthy. You know, I did ask him about it after the game, just, you know, weight-wise. Was there anything you did to get stronger, to get – and he basically, you know, said, look, when it comes to the shots he takes within this offense, he's going to go through the floor of the offense and all those sort of things. So Jaren Jackson Jr. was an encouraging sign. And another one, this was probably going to throw you for a loop, because I saw people complaining. I saw the people saying, oh, the defense isn't doing this, defense isn't doing that. The Grizzlies defense is playing a lot better basketball right now. You look at the raw stat sheet and you see the Kings scored 113 points, right? That's what you see. But you got to take it a step further. You have to. That's the only way you're going to feel good about this thing. And number one thing is the Kings enter this game as the number one scoring offense in the NBA. Number one scoring offense in the NBA. So with that being said, the Grizzlies had their hands full, and they held them well under that. Held them to 113 points, and that includes all the late-game ticky-tack fouls. So for the Grizzlies – defense really brought it to play, and it was more than just holding them under, you know, their season average and things like that. The Kings, 39 of 90 from the field, so that means they shot 43% from the field, 33% from three-point range. Overall, the Grizzlies played some really solid defense. I think in that third quarter is when the Grizzlies kind of made their mark. Still got outscored because the Grizzlies went through a stretch where they missed more than 10 consecutive shots in that third quarter. So it's the old case of, oh, wow, the offense is playing good all game. You know, the Kings offense is playing good. You're finally able to get some stops. Then, boom, you know, he breaks out. So with all that being said, you know, I think right now, just looking at, you know, this game, the Grizzlies, the Kings, the defense, to me, was impressive. It was impressive. There were stretches, you know, where they couldn't get many stops. You know, I'm thinking of the second quarter in particular, and that was the quarter Jaren Jackson Jr. talked about after the game. That was the quarter that Taylor Jenkins, you know, briefly mentioned. The second quarter, the Kings kind of blew the game open. I believe the Grizzlies had a 31-28 lead at the end of the first quarter, and the Kings flipped that to a 64-59 lead at the half, courtesy of not even the players that you would have thought it would have been. It was Harrison Barnes, you know, making some big shots. I think he finished the game with 26 points. And then there were a couple other players. You know, Kevin Huerter had a real big first half, knocking down some shots for the Kings as well. So the Grizzlies' defense, I think, you know, We get blinded. You know, they've been giving up a lot of three-pointers. And, again, the Kings came out and made 15 threes in this game. So another night where they allowed, you know, 15-plus three-pointers. But the overall, the two-point defense, all of it has been really good. And those are all encouraging signs, right? Because, you know, teams will go closer to the mean. Yes, they're making a lot of three-pointers now, but there are only a few teams in the NBA who can consistently do that. So I think defense, it is just important to note that you got to sometimes go beyond just the raw stat sheet and just think about, hey, these guys are making them work for anything that they want to do. And that's the case here. So the defense is playing well. Jaren Jackson Jr. is playing well. Oh, what's next? What's next? What next is, what do you want to hear? I have some player updates, some health updates on a couple key Grizzly players. But before we get to that, we got to talk about Bet Online. See, the thing about Bet Online is it is the premier, the one and only, the number one source of betting out there, not only just for you, but you can check out, you know, boxing. You can check out MLB, NBA, not just NBA, college basketball, college football, wherever you go to place your bets, Bet Online is the place to go, because Bet Online is the number one source for betting for you. Thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen today. Now for your second listen, I want you to go check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, you can go beyond the scoreboard. So we're talking about behind the scenes with the local experts and get some of those insights that only Locked On can provide. Again, that's Locked On Sports Today, available wherever you get your podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, Locked On Sports is there. Well, it wasn't all, you know, bad news. We've touched on the Grizzlies losing 4 out of 5. They're missing key players, and you know, they're 10-8 now. This is a team that was just at the top of the Western Conference standings, and now they're in the ninth spot. Now it's, you know, no one's overreacting because it's super early in the season, and quite frankly, a lot of other teams are struggling too. If you don't believe me, go check out the Nuggets. That was a trendy pick. Go check out the Lakers, who have two of the better players in the world on their team. Go check out the Golden State Warriors, and et cetera. The list goes on and on and on. But we have a couple player updates just to touch on ahead of Friday's action. And the most important one, I think, is Zaire Williams. It's the most important because it's the most, you know, detailed update of the two players. I'll make sure that I'm clear on that. But Zaire Williams is getting close to doing one-on-one, according to Taylor Jenkins. Why is this important? Well, if you know anything about the Grizzlies and the way that they like to bring these players back from long-term injuries, there's usually a one-on-one, then you go to three-on-three, then you go to five-on-five. The one-on-one is kind of where they start doing some contact stuff, some skill work in between as well. But when you go to three-on-three, it's more, you know, more contact. And then five-on-five, you're getting up and down. You're basically getting some scrimmaging in ahead of the game time action. So that's where Zaire Williams right now, he's really trending in the right direction. I think, you know, it won't be too much longer before we see Zaire Williams. And that'll be a big boost, right? Zaire Williams, when I think of him, I think of this Grizzlies bench. And you think of, you know, the lack of shot creation, the lack of guys who can get to that mid-range spot and knock down those two-point shots that Zaire Williams does. And then the defense, right? The Grizzlies, you know, don't have the strongest set of wing defenders without Danny Green, Zaire Williams out there. Those are two guys who, you know, should be able to really help on that side of the floor. Zaire Williams with his length and Danny Green with his experience. But Zaire Williams is getting close. So I was looking at it. I remember when Jaren Jackson Jr. was doing one-on-ones. It was about two to three weeks, I believe it was, at that point. After those 2 or 3 weeks, he was back playing. So I'm not putting a timeline on it because I'm not a doctor, and I haven't heard anything substantial or concrete in terms of, you know, Zaire Williams and a return to play. But overall, good update there. I think he's progressing well. No setbacks or anything like that. And speaking of no setbacks, that's pretty much the news it is with Desmond Bane. He's still continuing to progress. The team gave him a 2 to 3 week period where he'll be reevaluated. So the thing about him being reevaluated is a lot of people say, hey, That's just when he's going to, you know, return 2 or 3 weeks. But it's not just that simple. It's not that simple. Desmond Bane, you know, I saw him at the game, and he wasn't wearing a boot. So that's a sign in the right direction. He's not wearing a boot right now, and he's getting a little bit closer. So overall, Zaire Williams is who it sounds like is closer to a return at this point. Then, of course, when you get Zaire Williams back, you have to worry about, do they continue to start John Conchar? Do you bring Zaire Williams off the bench? You can make an argument for both ways, but the argument for Zaire Williams coming off the bench is the Grizzlies right now, they don't have a lot of bench scoring. You just go look at the plus minus, and this has been a recurring thing that we've kind of touched on a few times. The plus minus of Grizzly players who came off the bench in this game were negative 18, negative 11, negative 16, and minus 5. So all in all, a lot of players not impacting, you know, the win-loss column as much. And that's kind of where, you know, the Grizzlies are right now. But you know what? We're going to talk more about, you know, that on the next episode. My main man, Joe Mullinax, will be back. And that may be the time to talk about something. You know, I know Joe has been itching to talk about something in particular. And that thing in particular is DeAnthony Melton. You know, Joe can't wait to talk about him. You see the takes that Joe's making. He's been one of the people who have said, you know, he didn't agree with the trade. And for someone as like myself who thought the trade was a smart idea, watching DeAnthony Melton light it up with the 76ers while the Grizzlies bench struggled was extremely noteworthy in that last game. But thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. Now, for your second listen, for your next listen. I mean, your next listen might be your second listen, or it just might be your next listen. So I'm just going to say your next listen. So with your next listen, I want you to go check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. It's the biggest stories of the day. And then you get instant reactions, big game recaps, one big take of the day as well. And it's in the same places as Locked On Grizzlies, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, Locked On Grizzlies is there. Thank you again for tuning in to this episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Make sure you continue to like, rate, subscribe. I mean, and everything in between. Leave the comments on our YouTube section, on wherever you're tuning in. If that's on Apple Podcasts, leave a review for us. If that's on Spotify, leave a review for us. We're working hard, and we are taking into consideration all the things that are said about you in regards to the show. So we appreciate you tuning in. Grizzlies fan, until next time, and we will see you coming up on Locked On Grizzlies. We're going to do an episode of Thanksgiving edition, and then we'll get back to previewing, you know, an upcoming game against the New Orleans Pelicans, where maybe for once, Ja Morant and Zion Williamson will finally take the floor. But you gotta knock on wood when you say that. You gotta knock on some wood when you say that. And we appreciate you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. Though, once again, I am your host, DeMichael Cole, and we'll see you next time on Locked On Grizzlies.